inner hall of life.
Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising.
Who had that much bass in their voice?
Me. I'm sorry.
Who's that grown ass nigga? Yo, welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising.
Sometimes it comes up, but usually my balls just drop as soon as I start talking on this podcast. My voice is actually not this deep. I don't know what the. Just go stop.
The podcast persona, hey, yo, fun.
You want to do it one more time?
Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising. The podcast about
my head hurts too much for this. Not making me laugh. This is a podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black polyamorous feminist hoe living in New York City.
Me, Rob, an agender pansexual feminist with a fatty.
And me, Rebecca, a fat black pansexual whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here.
And me, Akua, one. No, Akua's not here. That was my worst Akua impression.
That was so bad,
though.
Like, I didn't think
you
so.
You have to do the. You have to do the tongue click. Akua, we miss you, Mom. Yes. So how this show works, we have one principal host. That's me. I'm here every week. Then we have my rotating band of hoes, Rob, Rodeca, and Akua. And then at the end of the month, we party together. And this is one of our party episodes. But Akua's not here.
And it's also because
she has a child
to
or something.
Actually party.
No, yeah, it's not actually a party. And I won't be partying for a very long time.
Sam's all partied out.
Oh, I'm so hungover, guys. If this episode sucks, I personally apologize.
I'm literally dead, so like, don't even pay attention to me.
So I guess I'm making up for last week. Yes. When I didn't sleep and I was hungover. Now I'm fine. I didn't sleep this time either, but you know, I put on some makeup, I put on a wig, I look great. Turn my shit up today.
So if you're a new listener, we have a couple of segments in this here podcast. They are Bay of the Week, where we talk about people who are attractive, Hoe of the Week, where we shout you guys out, the homies, the listeners, Self-Care Tip of the Week, where we give you guys some advice on how to take care of yourself, Pay a Bitch, where we beg for money, Fuck That, where we talk about current events, Fuck It, which is where we normally have a topic of the day, but because this is a party episode, we will not be doing that, Fuck Me, which is where we talk about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives, and Fuck You, which is where we talk about your sexual, romantic, and dating lives.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you could do so by using the hashtag.
That's
so fancy.
The hashtag Inner Hole Uprising, so we can see it, and the hashtag Pod In, so other people can see it.
Mm-hmm. What's our first segment?
Bay of the Week.
Yes. Okay. My Bay of the Week. So there's this woman named @JamaicanHoney on Twitter. Ooh. And this man tweeted this dumb thing like, I don't know how y'all hoes be fucking multiple people in one day, and like, how do y'all not feel like, that? Because the pussy definitely feels like something.
Niggas,
like the pussy's loose.
Niggas notice. Okay, like you act like you low, but we notice exactly. If you fuck with somebody else, because that shit feel loose.
So she quoted the tweet and then said, "Did you realize when I fucked you and Aiden back to back?"
Oh,
and that shit started a cascade of things. I thought about that too. Like. I'm not gonna say, because I mean, y'all need to know how much of a hoe I really am. You know, there have been some instances. And,
I mean, yeah, fuck people back to back before. I never got any complaints.
No, because it's a vagina. It's a fucking very powerful muscle.
It contracts and expands, guys.
Shit, push you out a whole baby, and then you get pregnant 1 month later. You think that my son was gonna get you pregnant if it was just still the size of a baby?
Like, that's not how sex works. My other Bay of the Week, which I always said I'll do this if like there wasn't enough Bays of the Week. Have you guys ever seen that video where there's just a brawl in what seems to be a gymnasium in a school, and like
I want to laugh.
Mad people. And this woman like just picks up a whole table.
Oh yeah, and just throws it. It's incredible.
She just threw the table in the brawl, and then fucking somebody throws a chair at her, and she just deflects the chair.
Yo, she was the boss ass.
And then
bitch,
somebody throws another chair, and this bitch caught the chair
and threw it back. Son,
that's it. I love that. If that's who I could be.
How did you not show me that video?
I've been seeing that.
That sounds like a mood.
Mood.
Like a permanent mood. Oh, I'll find it after we record. But oh, I love that video so much. Whoever that woman is, Bae of the Week. All right, what's our next segment?
Hoe of the Week.
Okay, so we have newer. Come on, son. This nigga didn't even try with this name. What does that say?
It says Nori Yolsi.
Yeah.
That person paid a bitch. Thank you very much. We got Rock the Bell. Oh, these are all people who reviewed us on iTunes. So we got Rock the Bell, Kojo 555, Shy 718, Swagga V, California Fan, Ariok Eel, Ms. Uwa, That Bitch Lucy. Somebody whose name is literally just
the eyes.
Eyes cover eyes, cover ears.
That's just it. A series of three emojis. Thank you. M. Fumboa, Rosencrads 1123, Baphomet Bitch, I love you. Kelso 123445, ND Glow. These names are so funny. Clashib.
Clashib. So, I just want to know why. Like, I want to know the stories behind some of these, especially the eyes.
Emojis. Your iTunes name.
This is great.
Tawny Marie 1, Danny Loves to Read. And then we have that. The one person who reviewed us on Stitcher besides myself, S. Goulby, and then Rel, who paid a bitch and is from what is formerly the Cure podcast.
Hey.
Sorry that your podcast is over, but you'll do great things in the future.
We'll miss you.
Yeah. It sounded like somebody died.
We just got so quiet.
Let's go to self-care tip of the week. So,
oh wait, you missed. I told you I had my
sorry, go ahead.
Sam, do not fuck with me. Oh my god.
I will fucking kill you, Sam.
All right, cool. So first and foremost, Tori Taj, and OG Stefani. There you go. Right, thank y'all for hit me up and giving me some good ass vibes. Nigga, I hate my entire existence, so I be needing that shit. Y'all niggas don't know. I be screenshotting that shit.
We live off of your kind words.
Your kind words are literally what keeps us alive a lot of the
we
time.
We did not
so,
have that.
Nigga, we just, I mean, we'd probably still be crumbled alive, up, but we'd just be like dust balls.
Over. Yeah, exactly.
Little fucking dust mites.
You'd be me because I'm dead. I mean, that's pretty much it.
We'd all be Rebecca's.
We'd all be me.
Rebecca's and nobody.
So now you
to
have
Rebecca.
To give Rebecca some no, nice really. Comments so
please
Rebecca could
send
become Rob.
Yes.
Rebecca evolves into Rob. Okay, self-care tip of the week. You know, I had something, but I didn't look into it. So, ooh, no, I have nothing.
Oh
I literally
God.
Have nothing.
Wow. What is this?
Drink water.
Yes.
When you're hungover.
How about, don't drink while you're emotional?
Yeah, that's
oh, yeah,
one.
That's a good
drink
one.
Drink while you're emotional.
Yeah.
Because... You
sometimes
will keep
you
drinking,
though.
No,
there's
like
no limit.
There's like a.
I don't have anti-anxiety medication,
no,
and
facts.
I don't smoke weed, so
I get I it because I do the same thing. Yeah. But I have to stop myself
okay.
by the third drink when my lips become numb, and I'm just like, all right, cool. If I keep drinking, I'm
where
gonna be
gonna
drunk
go?
As fuck. I'm not gonna be able to walk.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to find my way home, and then you're not fun because then you just begin crying. And arguing, and it's like, niggas be like, I don't get emotional drunk. No, you have to be emotional, and then you get drunk, then you become an emotional drunk. So, you know, don't drink in emotion. Don't drink and feel.
Don't drink and drive either.
Don't drink and drive either. Don't drink and drive, don't feel and drive, and don't feel and drink. There you go.
Self-care tip of the week. Let's go on to pay, bitch. If you guys would like to help sustain the Inner Hoe Uprising podcast, you can do so by going to innerhoeuprising.com, clicking the tab Pay a Bitch. You can also go directly to our PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerhoe. If you'd like to buy merchandise to support the show, you can go on innerhoeuprising.com and click the tab Merchandise. You can also use sponsor codes using not this, but previous and future episodes, because when you support our sponsors, you support us. And you can also review us on iTunes and tell a friend and do all those good things. Also, I am accepting, and you guys are free to get on this jig now too.
Okay.
I'm accepting Fashion Nova gift cards from you.
Yay!
People. So if you want to
yes.
send that directly into the IHU podcast at gmail.com inbox.
No,
yeah.
Seriously.
I need a new pair of jeans, son. I like, if you go, here's a little tip.
Advertising.
If you go on the our Instagram, it's just me wearing the same jeans over and over again.
Hey,
I don't have any clothes.
Why are you snitching on yourself, Sam? Nobody, I didn't know that.
Because I want,
I see you all the
funds.
Time. I didn't know that.
So it's the same jeans.
You a bum.
I am a bum. Damn. I cleaned them,
this is
though.
Real. All
right, make Sam a classy bum. A Fashion Nova bum. Fashion bum.
Oh, man. Now I'm going to go through your whole Instagram and be like, those are the same. I'm
no, our Nova. Instagram. Not my Instagram. Oh, okay.
I'm just going to leave a jeans emoji on each one, like a trail. And then at the end, you guys could tally how many jeans emojis you see, and then you can let me know. And then I'll let you know my next
Everyone
episode.
Everyone just literally in her whole uprising Instagram with jean emoji.
That'd be hilarious. Like, start the movement.
Nigga, attack it's for awareness. Instagram is attacking with mad jeans.
Bomb. Oh my god. All right.
Okay.
Let's go into our next segment. Fuck that. Which is our current events segment for the show. What do we got first?
I'm Rob.
is this a classroom?
I just saw my name next to the notes and I just felt like I need to reach because I don't have the deepest voice on earth. Okay, so this is about a college in India that listed three genders, which was male, female, or gay. I didn't want to read it at first because I was like okay, like whatever, but then I read this other article that was a little too heavy for the show and I was like, damn, I gotta find something else. Yeah. And when I actually read it, I was like, wow, this is like actually the title wasn't very it wasn't a reeling title. It's a really good story, but whoever wrote this shit kind of failed. Try again with your fucking marketing, bro. But anyway, so this occurred in India at a teacher training college called National Institute of Technical Teachers Training and Research. And they had a form on their website that was for candidates seeking vacancies. And the genders that they had listed were male, female, and gay. And it's so stupid. And they were like tick boxes. And it was like totally like, okay, right?
So are you
like,
male, female, or gay?
And it's like, oh, I can't be both. That's crazy. Oh, shit. You didn't even ask my sexual orientation. We're just going to lump it in there. But the worst part about it, right? Yeah. So Times India asked a college rep, like, what happened? And he said, or they said that they seemed to be confused when contacted for comment. They said, what are transgenders? Aren't they the same as gays? Parentheses, houseway. Like,
how is this a college? Like, how are you an institute
teaching
of
college? That's the worst part.
How are you an institute of higher learning?
Third world country, bro.
I mean, technically it is, but.
Oh, for real?
By the definition of third world.
Oh, okay.
And it also is a developing country, but it is one of the leading developing countries.
Like, it's not like they're oblivious.
No, no, no.
Especially
no.
Because
this is just a dumb.
When you get further into the history of like the third gender in India, like it totally exists.
Yeah.
Hijra.
Oh, yeah.
Hijra. Right. Because they ended up changing after the actual director of the college said he would change it immediately, and they did, and they changed it to gender please specify so that you could list your own gender in your own words. But they definitely do have a third gender called Hijra. It's similar to transgender America, but they're also similarly marginalized. So a lot of them also turn to sex work and also have they have like a high HIV prevalence. But progressively, even though, you know, India may be a third world country, they still do recognize this gender. And in 2014, they had a Supreme Court decision that legalized like that third gender category so that people could identify on like official documents like passports and licenses. And they had a census that they found that 490,000 people identified as third gender.
Wow. 490,000?
Yes. Now, I probably should have looked at how many people were in India.
It's like a billion people.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So that's actually a pretty significant amount of people. Either way, because similar to America, where it's only like 2% of the population. And like, to be specific, the Hijras are officially recognized as a third gender, which is being considered neither completely male nor female. So, you know, we have like this wide spectrum of like mixed match names, but they have that like one name to all encompassing of everybody who would be considered transgender.
Gotcha.
But Yeah, that was weird. But then also, I do remember at one point in time before I was woke, when I was still sleepy, I didn't realize that gender and sexuality were separate. Mm-hmm. I could see people who are not nearly as progressive thinking also confusing that. Mm-hmm. But I just couldn't see that being something that happens out of college.
Yeah.
At such a high level.
Especially when it comes down to transgender, I thought that was the same thing as gay. Like, yeah. If you have that question in your mind, you need to research that. If you didn't have the question at all, then I could give you something. But if you're just like, ain't that the same thing? And you just like go off of it without fact checking at a college.
To the point where something you're like, wrong, I'm going to put this on the paper. Exactly. And this is happening.
Like, you made a decision.
It's like, the thing is, when I have that kind of like a mix up, it was more that I thought that transgender people were also gay.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't realize that you could be like a heterosexual trans man, like, yeah, and like you know, like liking women, yeah, like that didn't make you like a lesbian because you're a man. Mm-hmm. And that's because it's a pretty modern concept. So mm-hmm. It's like, if nobody explains it to you, like mm-hmm. you wouldn't yeah. know. But you can't say, I don't think anybody who has like any kind of intelligence and also believes that transgender people exist, because there's definitely people who still don't think that it's a thing. But you can't. How do you say that being gay is the equivalent of being a man or a woman?
Yeah,
that's just
logically, it's not there.
It's confusing.
There's no logic.
How does that work?
There's nothing there.
Yeah,
it.
No, nah. I'm not a man or a woman. I'm just gay.
That's just be fucking niggas.
Fucking niggas. As we bag all the girls in school, but I'm not a man or a woman. I just bag girls in school.
That's it.
It's the same thing. And in India, and it's a teaching college.
All right, next story. Right. Trigger warning for sexual assault and rape.
Rikers guard accused of allowing inmate to commit multiple rapes against prisoners.
That's fucked up. Man.
So, basically, the story is that a prisoner at Rikers, by the name of Alexandra James, mm-hmm. Was hit with a 136 count indictment for raping two prisoners in jail, including the mother of Zamir Perkins, which I think this happened a couple of years ago, where it was a 3-year-old who was abused by his mother and father, mm-hmm. and he ended up dying. Mm-hmm. So basically, James' attacks on Perkins were caught on Rikers surveillance cameras, and basically they were saying that the guards were using James as a tool to rape these prisoners, and they were like allowing it to happen. Mm-hmm. So Perkins, his mother, is actually suing and saying that like, you guys allowed this to happen, mm-hmm. and they were using James as an enforcer. One second.
Kind
of
sick.
Yeah,
that sounds like slavery.
Yeah,
like sending a slave to the other plantation so they could be broken in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they said they knew these women were being abused, raped, and terrorized by Miss James, and they let that go. The fact that Miss James was indicted is no surprise. The real question is, does the Bronx District Attorney have the spine to prosecute the corrections officers who let this happen?
Is there any? Like,
there's no
anyone
case
calling for that.
Yeah,
to happen?
The attorney is, but it's kind of like they're using her as a scapegoat because they knew what the fuck it was, and it's like, it's an inmate, so nothing's gonna happen. But she's gonna get indicted.
So like, this bitch is over here drinking with her purse. That's hilarious.
just hand it over. It's after 12.
Not illegal. I'm a fucking adult.
Grown ass nigga.
So like, on the surveillance footage, it's like apparent that that's what, like, they're just sitting back and letting it happen, and that's why they have the case to
it's
fucked.
One of those things where it's like open shut, but it's open shut on James because they're just gonna be like, okay, you're a prisoner, but no one's looking at the higher ups. Mm-hmm. It's like they're putting it to light and saying that she used, that the guards used her. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's no open case against the guards. It's just like, okay, well, open shut, she's going back to jail. That's
the
it.
Fuck?
Yeah.
Are they being fired? Like, is there any repercussions?
In the article, it's
whatsoever?
Like one of those things where there is no resolution. Like, that's the last line where it's just like, I hope someone has the guts to say something to the correction officers.
We start with the petition.
Yeah.
We got the protest.
Yeah.
Because, damn, bro.
Yeah.
And then the worst part about it is like, women raping women.
Yeah.
They said and it, people don't even like believe take that shit seriously. That happens, it's like, yeah. How do you rape a woman? Like, people don't think that you could be equally as traumatized as we've seen in mm-hmm. our one of our past episodes. So,
exactly.
Damn,
yeah. It literally says this indictment does not address the serious institutional failure of Rikers Island to protect my client. That's it. Like,
damn.
But we know Rikers ain't shit.
Yeah, yeah. But
Rikers
like,
it ain't shit. I mean, you go be a fucking correction officer. You're literally feeding into that system. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't be a good correction officer, bro. Power corrupts.
Yeah.
Like, power corrupts everybody, even the best of the fucking best. I'm sure Barack Obama was probably fucking corrupt. Okay, yeah. Though he was corrupted. Yeah, but we're not gonna get into that because he's black and we love our president. But
we have a soft spot.
Nah, it's like, nah, no.
Yeah.
Nah.
In general, jails and prisons.
Facts.
It's not a surprising story.
And I mean,
but it is like, a sad
how
one.
Do you, you're already in jail. Why do you need somebody to enforce?
It's just sick. I mean, like, there's,
I mean, yeah, there yeah. are some, like, when you're in that situation and you're a sick person, you can enforce your sickness mm-hmm. on people. Like, the thing where it's like, oh, not all cops are like that, but being a cop allows you to do that and mm-hmm. allows you to get away with fucked up shit like that.
Yeah, there was, oh, man, I was about to go into psychology, but there was this experiment. I don't even remember what the fuck the name was, but uh-huh. it's basically just showing that, like, when people are given that amount of power.
Stanford exactly Prison Experiment.
Thank you. Yes.
Explain what that is.
So, the Stanford Prison Experiment was just, I think a group of like 20 people, students actually, mm-hmm. and they were just students that they gave the title of corrections officer or like prison guard and then prisoner. And that was it. They didn't get any instructions. They just had them in the room basically. And then it at first it was just like, oh, you know, we're playing these guards. Then it got straight up crazy. Like mm-hmm. they were locking these prisoners up. They were taking like their beds away. They were hiding them in closets. They were doing a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just like, they had to, the guy wouldn't pull the plug because he just wanted to see how far it would go, basically. Oh. And it was just people in a situation where they received power and they went apeshit, like, mm-hmm. and people called, like, they dropped out of it because it just felt like serious, post-traumatic stress, well, stress in general, traumatic, like, mm-hmm. you know?
They stopped the experiment when people began to be physically assaulted.
Yes.
The fact that it went to that
mm-hmm. you know, you have to think about the time when this happened. Which so this was like, if I'm not mistaken, this was either late 1970s or early 1980s.
Yeah, I was going to say I think it was the
70s. Mm-hmm. But at that time is when, now granted, this was a prolific, you know, a lot of these experiences, even though they were like really morally fucked up,
yeah,
but they were prolific.
Yep.
Like they set the standards for how easy it is to change somebody's outward expression. So with that, it was like literally just giving somebody power. Mm-hmm. Just that was it, that they just were like, hey, you're a guard, you're a prisoner, and people assume the role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
with no experience. And there was also another study similar, and if I'm not mistaken it's also by the same person, and his name, I forgot because he's dead. he was white. but he had, this experiment was with the electric shock.
Yes, I know that
and
one.
And mm-hmm. they had people who were, they were basically blinded to somebody who was behind a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And they had somebody who was in a lab coat. Mm-hmm. So this is somebody who represents authority,
yeah. mm-hmm.
like a doctor. Mm-hmm. And they had to, if the person were to answer a question wrong, if the person behind the wall,
yeah.
the actor, mm-hmm. were to answer a question wrong, then this player was supposed to press a button, which gave an electric shock.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a scale of like very little shock to mm-hmm. like a very large, painful, almost deadly shock.
Mm-hmm.
And the experiment lasted long enough so that they built up to giving that extremely high shock. Of course, the actor on the other side, there was no actor. Wasn't it was really like a recording.
Okay.
But people were so influenced by just having this authority and being in a situation in a college. They were on a campus.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was also Stanford University. Mm-hmm. But they were on a college campus. So mm-hmm. it was just like being in a place of authority with somebody with authority and somebody's telling you that like you have power,
yeah.
and even though you don't want to do it, you do it anyway. Mm-hmm. It's like, damn, I just haven't talked about psychology in so many years. Damn, nigga, that psychology, you're just kicking in. Like, it goes to show that even not granted, not saying that this the prisoner who is raping these other prisoners absolutely by no means like that shit, you can't justify that. Mm-hmm. But it also goes to show that the guard should definitely be held accountable. Yep. Because if you're somebody in power, you're like, yo, it's okay to do it. And you just gave them a piece of your mm-hmm. power. So you have like a fucking line of power. They're mm-hmm. tethered to you. Then it's like you literally created the environment for this to continue.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One night you all were at the club and he offered you a Quaalude mm-hmm. and you said you don't take drugs. And he said back in his day, they called them thigh openers.
Yeah.
Thigh openers. Did Hef take Quaaludes?
I don't know if he actually took them, but I saw him offer them to girls almost every night we went out for a couple of years early on.
It's like a Hugh Hefner died, son. But does anybody care? Damn. So basically what I want to go through with this is I feel like there's like a cartoonization, if that's a word, or maybe a caricature of Hugh Hefner as a person, where people are either like, oh, I love that guy, he's just like that old nigga who fucks everybody and he mm-hmm. has all these bad bitches or whatever, or people saying, oh, that's just a creepy old man who's into sex, but neither like fully embodies the type of fucked up ass nigga that he was. Mm-hmm. So now we're gonna drag him in death because that's what we do here at the end.
R.I.P.
Nobody is safe. Nobody. Okay, so I just wrote down some fucked up things that Hef has done. So the first ever issue. That's the greatest title. That was me this morning, hungover, on Angela's bed. Some fucked up things that Hef has done.
Tear. Another tear.
So the first ever issue of Playboy magazine featured a nude spread of Marilyn Monroe, but Marilyn Monroe did not take those photos for Playboy magazine. She took those photos before her career even started with a like just random photographer or whatever. And after she took it, she regretted it and I think asked or paid the photographer not to release those photos, but he had the photos. And somehow Hugh Hefner, because he's a sick ass nigga, got in contact with this guy after Marilyn Monroe blew up, and he bought the photos from that guy and put it in Playboy without her consent. He also did a similar thing to Vanna White and Madonna, where he just got old nude photos of them and just released it in Playboy without their consent.
And that's just number one.
Yeah. Other things that he's done. So he is just friends with Bill Cosby. And that's already just like, do I have to say more? But I will. So Cosby was often at the Playboy Mansion. And like, we know Bill Cosby's a rapist. Like, if you think that he's not, don't listen to the show. He's clearly a rapist. And he's at the Playboy Mansion. And it's just like, you saw him like giving women Quaaludes. You had to have seen that if he was always there, and that's the type of guy that he is. But specifically, one woman who accused Cosby of sexual assault. I feel like Bill Cosby's gonna die soon. Don't you just feel that in
so
the
you're
air?
Like,
because when I'm thinking about him, I'm just like, oh, he passed away, but like that didn't happen. I just feel like it's coming.
Speaking into existence.
Yeah, exactly. The aura, the time is right. So this woman who accused Bill Cosby of sexually assaulting her added Hugh Hefner to her lawsuit, saying that he knew that people were being assaulted at the mansion and never did anything about it. And it was like his place of whatever business or his home, actually.
Yeah, his place of residence.
So, yeah, that happened. In the 1970s, he would give women Quaaludes and actually said, in the 70s, they used to call these thigh openers in reference to Quaaludes. And if you don't know what Quaaludes are, it's just like a very mind-altering drug. And watch that scene of, what was it, The Wolf of Wall Street?
Oh, my God.
Where this nigga was, like, dragging himself on the floor. and like, this is what they're giving to women to make them have sex with them. So, like, that's fucked up.
That's worse than a roofie, bro.
Is it?
It looks like it.
I mean, it does look like Rufy's
was traumatized, but from that scene,
that was pretty good.
Damn.
What else did he do? So a lot of the stuff that we know about him, like the inner workings of the mansion, came out when Holly Madison, one of his former girlfriends, wrote a memoir about her time. It's called Down the Rabbit Hole. And some fucked up things that she talks about in the memoir. Where should I start? So he was he was emotionally abusive towards her. she was like in the house and she didn't really know like what being in the house entailed. But she moved in there because she was like in a rough spot and she was about to like get kicked out of her apartment or whatever. So she already felt weird. And she didn't know that sex was actually involved. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden she was there and it was just like, I expect sex. And that was never something that was actually discussed. So this whole time in the house, she was like growing suicidal, getting to be very depressed. And she brought that up to him and he said, don't talk to like a psychologist about it. Talk to my secretary, because if you talk to a psychologist, they're going to make you leave. When she was there, he would call her stupid. He also like degraded her looks very often. The women who were there, who were his girlfriends, didn't get paid to be his girlfriends. They simply got an allowance. I think it was like $1,000 a week, and the allowance was specifically for them to look good and for nothing else. So when, who's this, Holly? When she used to be his girlfriend there, she was working at Hooters, and that was her only form of income and also her only like escape from being in the house. Mm-hmm. And he forced her to quit that job, thus cutting off her income and just like her connection to the outside world. The way that they had sex was weird. It was like bi-weekly or whatever, and he made it to be a chore. I don't know.
You had me at bi-weekly. I'm like, what? Is this like, they had a calendar?
Yeah,
like,
they did. Yeah. They did. And it's just the fact that like the women, like they consented to it because mm-hmm. they were doing it, but like they didn't want to do it. And like she said in an interview with Wendy Williams or whatever, she said like it was something that they just wanted to get over with. And I just think that like having sex with women in that way is weird. So like not outwardly raping them, but like there's definitely something mad predatory there.
You literally put fucks with Cosby heavily.
Yeah, that's how I do my notes, guys. Oh yes. So when she was getting ready to actually leave the show, the relationship or whatever, because when she was on the show, there was three girls that were on the show with her. It's called Girls Next Door or whatever. And she said after those two girls who were also his girlfriends at the time left, he became even more emotionally like abusive to mm-hmm. her, towards her and stuff like that. And when the other two girls were there, she felt like it was equally distributed, but it was just like weighing down on her. So that's when she wanted to leave. And he was like, oh, don't go, da, da, da. And she was like, no, I've made up my mind. And when she was packing her stuff, he like conveniently left out his will, like on the bed or something like that. And on the page that it was on, it was like that he was leaving $3 million to Holly Madison. So as if to bribe her yes. to stay with him.
Nigga changed his will immediately, huh?
Yeah. No,
changed it the next. That was actually the old will.
That's shit. My old will.
That's yeah. why I was out conveniently.
He has different copies for different situations. And then
if you a variety of wills. If you actually read her book, which I did not because I didn't even know it existed until a couple of days ago.
Didn't it release like only Wednesday?
Her book?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay, maybe
no, it came out years ago.
Okay, because I was like, damn, that would have been convenient as fuck.
That would be crazy. He's like, might as well kill myself. No, I think this might have been released in 2015, maybe. Okay. Maybe 2014. If you do read her book, it details like more instances of like emotional abuse or whatever, and nothing physical abuse or whatever, but just like he's a very emotionally manipulative person. And I say all that to say, like in regards to like this caricature of him or whatever, there's also, I mean, he was a proponent for open sexuality at a time where people were not discussing things like that, and a proponent for like deregulating censorship in the media and stuff like that, and having open conversations about sex in the media. Playboy did have like their articles and stuff like that, and articles about sex, but that doesn't take away from the fact that he
is an asshole.
Exactly. And was like just because he provided a space where women were allowed to empower themselves sexually by showing their sexuality, which is something that they weren't doing before or whatever, or wasn't happening because porn magazines were not mainstream or mm-hmm. accepted by mainstream society or whatever, doesn't mean that he was an empowering person just because this space existed. What the fuck are you doing? He's over here taking shots in the corner.
Took a big gulp.
That was the greatest.
Keep going. I'm listening, bro. Damn.
That was the end of what I had to say.
That was it. Yeah.
I think, like, what you saying, that reminds me of, like, people like Salvador Dali.
Who?
Salvador Dali and, like, Picasso. These are artists.
Okay. I know Picasso. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, cool.
I don't know Salvador Dali, though.
Same. If you were to... Probably not. Anyway, fuck that nigga. But, essentially, like, these artists, they were so important for, like, that abstract movement.
Mm-hmm.
Because... in order to, like, really be an abstract artist, you had to almost leave, like, everything behind because it was such a crazy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And people, like, lost friends and family, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I don't really know much about Picasso, but the little bit I do know about Salvador Dali, who is also an amazing artist, like, he was a fucking, like, horrible person.
Mm.
And it's, like, you find it hard to appreciate the steps and the movement when, because you can't cancel out, like, mm-hmm. the sociopathic tendencies mm-hmm. that people have. But it's, like, also when it comes to these very powerful movements led by white people,
mm-hmm.
they typically aren't the sanest people. there's typically some real crazy shit wrong with them. Like, clearly, Hugh Hefner has some extreme fucking attachment issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like... You look at it like, oh, but no, like, he had money. He was able to keep people around, and he was just owned about sexuality. It's like, no, also, he was just abusive. Yeah. No, he didn't hit people, and he may not have had sex with them all the time, but he kind of forced them to have sex with each other.
Yeah.
There's ways to force people. There's ways to rape people without touching them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's up to us as educated people mm-hmm. to decide where we draw the line of appreciation. Like, if we can still appreciate what people have done, but that exactly. doesn't mean we have to glorify them.
Exactly.
You know, because how could you glorify that?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he died just like, oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It's like, no, you guys are mad tight because you jerked off to that nigga. But believe me, like, his empire is still going to continue. You still have plenty more spank big material, my mm-hmm. friend.
Well, I think the people who were mad tight because they, like, literally look up to him.
Yeah, but you have to, like, go. Which is such a weird thing to look up to.
If he was consensually having sex with all of these people and wasn't an abusive person or whatever and did everything that he did, then it would be like, okay, this is a guy who is a proponent of some sort of polyamory. Niggas want a lot of bitches, honestly. True. I would be like, okay, that's kind of weird, but I wouldn't have it that much of an issue if people were to look up to him. But the fact that, like, all of this exists, I guess people don't know it.
True. I was going to say, it's a matter of research. It's the same thing where if you just... You're like, oh, also, I see this in media, and that's just who he is.
There's that, but then there's also, like, even before knowing all of this, because I wasn't always sure that Hugh Hefner was an abusive person or whatever, and before this, I had heard murmurs, but I didn't know as much as what I just said. But, like, Playboy is mad. It's just, like, not very diverse. True. And I'm like, that's already, like, I don't know, as a black person, and you're, like, up there, like, oh, shout out to Hef, you know, like...
Like,
Hef never really fucked with you.
Yeah, he never represented you. He wasn't producing porn with Brian Pumper. So, like, get that one out of your head. Like, trigger warning for domestic violence. So this is a story about white privilege.
A tale older than time.
This is about a Oxford University student who... a woman, 24-year-old woman, white, duh, who stabbed her boyfriend, who is a Cambridge doctoral student.
Mm-hmm.
The reason, let me just get to the fucking story. I don't even want to, like, get to it because it just makes me so mad.
Yeah.
But you don't know what I'm talking about. That's why I'm here to tell you. I'm talking to you guys. I'm breaking the fourth wall. Okay, so... This student, she was dubbed too clever to go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And she walked free with a delayed sentence. In a drug-fueled frenzy, she stabbed her ex-boyfriend.
Yikes,
her name is Lavinia Woodward, and she's an aspiring heart surgeon. So she's going to Oxford University to study medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, she's, like, super-duper smart. Mm-hmm. But she stabbed her boyfriend in the leg with a bread knife and hurled a laptop, glass, and jam jar at him when they argued. And this was after he literally threatened to call her mother on Skype because she was wilding. And she lost it. And can't write this shit.
No.
Like, what? The worst part about it, like, if the story wasn't fucked up, and this is trigger warning for extreme white fucking privilege, like, the judge, I have to read verbatim what the judge said, because it's like literally fucking unbelievable. All right, this is Judge Ian Pringle. I hate your name. All right, it's fucking first and foremost, your name's stupid.
I kind of want Pringles.
I hope that none of my listeners have the last name Pringle. If not, I love you guys.
My name is Ian Pringle. I am also Ian Pringle.
He's from a cult.
Hashtag I stand with Ian Pringle.
I hate y'all niggas.
Everyone stands up.
But, all right, so the judge said that a custodial sentence may be too severe. Because
custodial sentence as in?
Like the standard sentences, like, cool, your trial's over, you get sentenced, you go to jail.
Okay, okay.
Because she has a delayed sentence. Like, she'll go to jail, I think, after, like, 18 months, or after she, like, graduates college. Wow. Right? I didn't even know they did that shit. Like, they don't even do that shit when you're pregnant. Let you be pregnant and go to jail. You giving birth in the fucking prison. But damn, being white has its rights. Like, okay, cool. So, also, she admitted to it. It's not like she fought this shit. She's like, yeah, I stabbed a nigga.
Yeah, I stabbed him.
Oops, be like that. But the judge said, it seems to me that if this was a complete one-off, to prevent this one-off as in a one-off event, like this only happened one time, it's only going to happen one time, to prevent this extraordinarily able young lady from following her long-held desire to enter the medical profession she wishes to would be a sentence which would be too severe.
So do, like, black kids who, like, get caught up selling weed get to, like, delay their sentences to actually go to school and make something of their life?
They just go to jail.
I'm reading it, and it just sounds like someone's doing a commencement speech and not, like, fucking somebody just stab somebody.
The whole, like, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Y'all should definitely check out the story for yourself. But, like, the whole blurb that he read before her sentencing was literally him praising her. The victim was not mentioned one time. She was on trial for assault, for like domestic violence, and he was not mentioned one time. And also, there was a restraining order against her. Right. She broke her restraining order to message him on Facebook to apologize. And then the judge also acknowledged this and praised her for it.
Praised her for apologizing?
For breaking the law. Breaking the fucking law.
That's crazy.
Doesn't make any sense.
Wow.
But it's like dead ass, like white has his life. Like you could definitely win. And also, the other part about it, it's not like she's broke. Her family has a lot of money. Mm-hmm. After this initially happened, she went on a vacation with her family, like to her family's house. I didn't even bother recording the numbers because it just made me feel like, wow, what world do I live in? But millions, that's all I know. And she was just living a very lavish, good lifestyle. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But it's the fact that not just being white, but not just being a woman who's committing domestic violence, but also being somebody of like the upper class. Mm-hmm. It's so many different like privileges within domestic violence that it's like, yo, she literally got off
scot-free.
Scot-free.
That's crazy.
And
so wait, after this, she's going to
school.
Go to jail. But like,
oh yeah, it wasn't 100% clear, but from what I got from it is that she would go to jail. But I'm thinking, I'm like, she probably wouldn't even, she probably wouldn't even make it. They'll probably be like, time served.
Yeah.
You suffer enough mentally. You suffer enough mentally, because one of the things that her lawyer was complaining about is like, oh, don't send her to jail. She can't even go to the club without being recognized.
What?
Okay.
Oh, she's a socialite.
I can't go in the club without being touched. I still go to the club.
Yeah.
So,
that's so crazy.
And I mean, like,
you literally have nothing stacked against you, and then nothing will happen to you on top of that. And then with she's everything stacked against
going
them.
To be a heart surgeon.
Well, like, now she wouldn't be able to be, because that's something like a conviction like that. That's a felony, and you'll have to disclose that. So, especially you wouldn't want somebody who, can't say. Of course, I mean, clearly wasn't like attempted like murder or anything like that. But she wouldn't want somebody who's emotionally unstable to enough to stab their spouse with a fucking bread knife.
So she actually can't become a surgeon. Is that what you're saying?
It's a bread knife? More than likely, no. Like she'll graduate school, but you wouldn't be able to work.
So what was the point of the judge?
Because the judge is fucking just loves little white girls.
But like, but in his justification, he's like, she should continue her studies to go on to become a doctor. Yeah. But if she can't be a doctor, then that doesn't make any sense.
All I know is that
it's gonna get dissolved.
This is in England. Yeah. Maybe it's different.
Yeah, it might be. I know that the lawyer, like the lawyer said that her dreams of becoming a heart surgeon are likely out the window because this conviction is something that would have to be disclosed, which makes sense. Like, you have to disclose. I mean, at least in America, you have to disclose felonies, but I'd assume in a country very similar to America, you'd have to disclose your felonies. Mm-hmm. And that's not a felony that would sit very lightly. But then again, it probably will. If you got off that easy, like, who wouldn't just hire you?
And she's a fucking socialite heart surgeon.
Socialite heart surgeon. Niggas can't, I can't go to the club no more. Niggas know I'm a fucking murderer. Like,
it's like an episode of Grey's Anatomy or something like that.
The worst part about it is that this is something that feeds into that stigma that men don't get attacked. Like, my son, like, had charges filed against her, filed a restraining order against her, and it's like, no, you broke your restraining order, it's cool, we love you, you show courage, like, damn, I couldn't do nothing like that. It's like, it really devalues that kind of, like, masculinity. Like, it emasculated homie. Like, how could you? Now it looks like he's the suspect almost. Like, look at you making her mad and getting her to this point, and oh, like, you let her drink, you let her do drugs, like, what's wrong with you? Like, it's just so,
is that stuff that people were saying about him?
No, that's what it looks like.
Oh, okay.
The article didn't mention him.
That's so crazy.
But it wasn't on purpose that there's just no information about him, because nobody's talked about him. Like, I'm sure he was there at the trial, but the judge literally never mentioned him. The lawyer spoke at the very, no, not the lawyer, a spokesperson for an organization for men who were victims of domestic violence. He said essentially that, though, like, you know, this is, the judge's remarks were, like, horrendous, because it's like, how could you praise somebody for beating another person, and especially such a vulnerable population where nobody believes in anyway. Because, like, if you know, if that was vice versa, like, granted, if it was vice versa and they were still in the same statuses, like, that same upper class status, he would have been in jail.
No, I actually don't think so.
I wouldn't think so if she was from a lower class. But because her family was so rich, I think so. Because, but then again, it doesn't mention how rich.
I don't get what you're saying anymore.
Okay. What I'm saying is, as a rich, beautiful, promising, bright, white woman, that if a man were to hit you,
oh, that's the way you're reversing.
Okay. I thought you were saying that he was a rich.
No, that would make a difference.
He would have also got the same treatment. Like the Scott, what's his name? Brock Turner.
Yes.
Yeah, like a similar
young rapist. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Young rapist who didn't get charged enough because he shouldn't go on with his swimming.
They would have seen the potential. Mm-hmm. But I mean, vice versa, if he would have hit her, but they were still in those same like class structures, he would have been in jail immediately. It would have been goodbye for his career, which, you know, that's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. But it's just so, it's sad that, you know, that the law doesn't work on both sides ever. Like, there's always it's a binary in everything.
Period.
Like, it's a binary in law, there's a binary in the fucking bathroom. Like, you just, nothing's fucking equal. And I'm like, damn, it's like sad because this could totally be America.
Not.
Congrats, America. This one's not on you. One for Britain. But that's my sad ass story.
That is fucked up. Sorry. You guys are going to be as fucked up as us by the end of this episode because we have nothing good to talk about. Trigger warning for, I don't even know. Trigger warning. I'm sorry. There's a lot of things going on in here. There's violence. There's homo antagonism.
About 10:45 this morning, two males were stabbed, one fatally, inside this high school in the fifth floor classroom they're at. The first male was 15 years old, and he was stabbed once in the chest.
A kid bullied for being gay and Latinx stabs his bully to death. So this happened a couple of days ago. It is involving Abdel Sedano, 18 years old. This occurred in the history class of the, or a history class of the Urban Assembly School for Wildlife Conservation. So basically, the details of the crime was that Sedano stabbed his classmate Matthew McCree to death and slashed his classmate Ariane LeBoy, who is still alive. So apparently, and I'm not sure how long this was going on, but maybe for the course of the school year, maybe longer. Sedano was being bullied by McCree and LaBoy. They were calling him the F slur and the S slur for Hispanic people. They also had hit him in the face, and this is all from like his friends, and then also I think someone who had worked at the school said this. He had been hit in the face. He reported it numerous times and the school did nothing. So 2 weeks ago he purchased a switchblade knife on like Amazon or something like that. And then at the time of the actual stabbing, McCree and LaBoy were throwing broken bits of pencils at him, and he just like snapped. And now he's being held in jail without bail on suicide watch. Yeah, just, I feel like we kind of have this fake progressive utopia, especially in like New York City, where we're just like, everybody loves gay people. We all go to the gay parade and everybody loves Hispanic people. Everybody here is from like Puerto Rico and stuff like that. But like, clearly we don't. And then also like, there's this fake idea of the younger generation now where it's like, oh, bullying doesn't exist or whatever, but it does. And it happens in different ways, and it still happens in the traditional ways where they're literally like hitting him in the face in school. And I don't know what happened in that school, but it's like some extreme negligence where you're like letting that happen to a kid. Not saying what he did was right.
It's like, it's normal negligence. It's like extreme, but it's always extreme, so it's like it's average negligence. Schools rarely do anything, at least in New York.
Well, I'm really not sure about that, honestly.
Oh, I mean, just because my personal experience is that it's like, okay, we'll do something.
Yeah,
they don't do anything.
Yeah,
they
I'm sure there are a lot of schools that are like that. Yeah, but like generally, I can't say.
I think it's like this bad stigma of thinking that bullying is just like a natural thing that kids do, because kids are cruel. Don't get me wrong. Like, but it's just something where I guess they can't really shake sometimes that, oh, you know, kids rough house and all that type of stuff, but they don't realize obviously how traumatizing or damaging it can be to somebody to the point where they can snap. Because I was bullied when I was a kid, and like I just beat people up because like
facts.
You know, it was just hands on chest. Exactly, but it's like, you know, now people have access to other things. Like, who's to say that that one person obviously can't buy a switchblade or buy a gun or buy something and then just go off because they feel unheard, or they feel, you know, or kill themselves, like, because that happens. Exactly.
Which happens way more often. Exactly. Because they're internalizing.
So it's just, it is, this was in New York City. Is this what?
Bronx.
I've never heard of this school before.
It's one of those, like, schools magnet within school. Yeah, like a magnet school. Oh, that's where it's like, very within. Yeah, those schools are like that.
But they're like tailored to things. K through like 12. It was like, junior high school through 12.
The high school exists within an elementary school building or something or a middle school building.
Yeah, it was a lot. It's like, with this, it's like easy to sympathize with the perpetrator, which sucks, because it's like a weird feeling, because even though like these two students were like OD wrong, it's like nobody deserves to die.
Yeah.
You know, especially in like school, like stabbed in the chest, like you just stabbed two people. That's a little extreme. I can't lie. Like, I could only sympathize but so much. Like, but I still don't understand. I don't know. I've been through my own personal situations with bullying where I almost like dropped out of high school or changed high schools because I was gay and all the guys liked me and they were just like, we hate you, and just tried to ruin my life. And I definitely suffered through depression for many, many years of my youth because I was gay. And so I understand that inner turmoil, and I understand wanting to fuck people up, because I definitely had my time of just beating everybody's ass, and it was great. And I can't do that anymore. I'm a little too old for that. But if I could, I would. Charge. But at the end of the day, it's like, people, nobody should be dying, but nobody should be suffering.
Yeah. And I mean, like, and that's, we just have to address that shit as a society. Like, because it just shouldn't, like, none of it should have happened.
And it sucks because, you know, these kids, you know, that this behavior is learned. And it's like, so you can only blame them for so much, because they were so young. And it's like, you don't know what would have happened later, or, you know, you don't know if they were gay, like that'd be the thing. You know, you internalize your own personal feelings and shit.
They were also being racist. Put that out there as well,
which happens. Like,
these
it's
kids
like,
were dicks.
Yeah,
they were assholes.
But it's like, still, Nobody dead. Deserves to die, especially such a brutal death like that in a school. Mm-hmm. You know, a school should be a safe haven for everybody. Mm-hmm. It should be a safe haven for people and to not be bullied, and a safe haven for me not to die.
Yeah, in not protecting Sedano in the first place, the fucking school also let those two kids down.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to talk about, like, you guys were saying, like, how people ignore bullying, but I also feel like to an extent we glorify bullying, like it'll toughen these kids up or whatever.
Yeah.
And like sometimes, like, if you do have like a gay son or whatever and people are making fun of him for that, you're like, oh, you know, first of all, maybe you might not agree with the fact that he's gay. You might like the bullying in that case, or you might be like, oh, I want my gay son to be bullied because in the future he's going to continue to have a tough time. And it's like, protect your fucking kids.
If you want to be gay, you also got to be tough.
That's not fair.
You're gonna go through this shit anyway, so you might as well go through it now. And it's
But like, if you have a child, protect your fucking child. Like, don't don't allow your don't allow your child to be traumatized on a daily basis because you can't, as a parent, like help them grow stronger in different ways, like through your love. No, that's not what I meant.
Positive
ways, like submarine.
Okay. What were you about to say?
I said it's just like positive ways of building someone up is always gonna fucking trump negative shit, you know?
Exactly.
Like, don't you know, I just don't understand that philosophy at all.
I hate when people say that. Like, when you're going through fucked up shit, they're like, oh, you come out stronger.
Yeah,
I can be strong on my own. I can read books, I can work out, I can eat right. Yeah, I can meditate, I'll be fine. Like, you don't have to like go through traumatizing shit to be a better person. I hate that glorification.
It's I mean, you're right. In New York, it's like New York gets praised.
You be like, my nigga, you good? Did you die?
Like,
no,
it's
other
always
kids
praised for being so progressive in this LGBTQA community. But there's only like one high school that I know of that's like a safe haven for gay people.
Yeah,
that's Bear Rustin.
It actually exists,
and that's one.
Mm-hmm.
All the gay people went there that I know.
Yeah,
all the people that I had crushes on, I used to go to that school to stand outside like about to bag some bitches today. But I mean, but that's one place, mm-hmm. and I didn't have that in my school. We finally formed a gay straight alliance, and there were no gay people in it. It was just allies, which was awkward, and I didn't want to do that. And I was like, you probably aren't allies, you're probably just gay, and you don't want to say it. It's weird. I had to join a community gay like outreach group, but
a what?
Like a community, mm-hmm. like community-based gay outreach group, which like provide like condoms and like sex education, just like emotional support, and got to be with like gay people, mm-hmm. but none of them looked like me. They're all white and Latino, and that was weird for me because I'm like, yo, I'm super black, mm-hmm. and my parents are totally going to kill me if they ever find out what I was doing after school. So it's like you need so much more support than anybody's getting, mm-hmm. and it's like I couldn't even see us in a world where people are getting that much support, because you'd have to change, go back to something we say every episode, in order to reach that utopia that we dream of, you have to change everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so shitty because now son's whole life is out the window.
Yeah.
Like, you're always be like, I think he's 18, so he's going to be charged as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to definitely be charged with murder, bare minimum, and probably attempted murder as well, and probably premeditated murder because he brought it two weeks ago, like he was plotting, even if you weren't, even if you just thought as a gay person who is outwardly gay, you wanted protection.
Because
I walked around with a knife and I was like 13, not that anybody wanted to attack me, but mm-hmm. I was just so afraid that somebody was going to figure out I was gay and was going to kill me.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of world that you live in. So,
damn. So
but still, killed. Rest in peace, you know, that young man, because still, nobody deserves to die. You don't know what would have happened later on in life.
Yeah.
You know, he could have suddenly had a gay son and then changed his whole perspective. Like, I shouldn't have been bullying gay people. You know, just...
fuck him.
Nah.
It takes a son to get there?
I'm
fuck
just saying.
Still. Grow
I'm
up,
just
nigga.
Trying to give some kind of fucking hope.
Yeah.
Only because I couldn't imagine, like, me as a mother, me mm-hmm. as a parent, and I don't know what the hell's happening. I thought I raised my child right, but now I don't have a son because of mm-hmm. some hurtful, very hurtful, very fucked up comments that he made and some physical fucked up things he did. But now it's like, I can't even correct my child.
Yeah.
I can't even say what you're doing is wrong and I thought I taught you right. So let me discipline you the mm-hmm. way that I feel right. Mm-hmm. Discipline shouldn't, like, it shouldn't be a death sentence.
Yeah. That's pretty heartbreaking. Hopefully from here, I hope the school, like, enacts some sort of...
Oh, yeah, they got some... They will. I know right now, it seems to only be, like, security measures.
No,
like,
yeah.
Oh, we're going to have the metal detectors, blah, blah, blah. Exactly. But it's like, money, you need more than that.
Yeah, you need to, like, address
that. And you need your... support. You need your security guards need to also be armed with... some kind of emotional knowledge and be able to be, you should have enough personnel that they can also be embedded into the school system enough to know what is going on. Like who's, I can see with my own two eyes who's being bullied because I'm overwhelmed with just a million kids running around me. I'm just trying to keep some fucking order. Like I can see when something's about to happen. So like,
well, in this school, it was a very small school, so I feel like they knew what was happening. And he also reported it several times. I think it's just like that whole
matter of I don't really give a shit. Yeah, or I don't think it's that serious. Exactly.
And there's also just like, here where it's like another thing about New York where it's like, okay, we're so progressive that we can just like say slurs to people and it's okay. Like, oh yeah, I called that nigga gay, but I'm not a homophobe or anything like that.
I love gay people. Or my aunt gay.
Exactly. So I don't know if they thought that's what was going on or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, fuck that story as well. Let's move on to the next segment.
Fuck me.
The segment about our sexual romantic dating lives. Who wants to pop off first?
All right. It's Rob again.
I'm back from 2 seconds ago.
The ladies love my voice. So I get so many comments like, I love your voice. So I want to keep saying my name so you never forget it. I want you to think about my name later tonight. Rob, you're... But not for real. My life is pretty shitty. I'm just kidding. My life is actually pretty great. But...
some downfall.
Yes. There's always... You can't ever forget the great things that are happening around you, even when shitty things are happening. My shitty thing is me and my partner, we ended shit for good, and that shit was mad annoying because Sun definitely dragged me. That's what it is, just mad annoying because I got dragged around like a fucking dog that didn't feel like walking, and then it was like, okay, I'm gonna leave you on the corner. Bye. Like it was hard. It was very stressful. And I'm trying to learn how to be okay.
Why do you feel like you got dragged around?
Because he was so unsure. And then he's like, no, I'm sure. I fuck with you. Nah, I need space. Nah, I want to stay. Nah, I need space. Mm-hmm. It was so confusing. And then even when he didn't say anything, his body language is fucking loud. And it made me feel like, what was I doing wrong? Do I do more? Do I do less? Like, I was trying to compensate. I ended up like overcompensating. Like, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna buy this. I'm gonna cook dinner. Blah, blah, blah. Like something that I don't feel comfortable doing. I don't ever advocate for somebody else to do. Like, you know, if you are who you are, maintain that, like stay true to that. And if somebody is not giving you like that vibe back, it's like, it's not you. And it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. But I was too strong-headed to see that for a little while. So I saw it and I addressed it and... yeah, we let it go. And, you know, we've been best friends for so long. So I'm just having the issue, like, do I want to be friends with you right now? Do I want to be friends with you ever? Like, how do I separate this? Because he's fine. Like, and I told him, like, bro, like.
That is what they do.
Yeah, like, they bounce back. You know,
they never had anything to bounce back from. They just walk in a straight path.
Keep walking. Keep going. He's like, ah.
Exactly.
Like he told me that he felt bad for that because I felt bad, and then he felt bad because he felt okay, and I had to like assure him like, yo, you made your decision. Mm-hmm. I need you to feel 100% with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then that makes it that much harder. Like I need you to say, I'm happy that we're not together because that's what I wanted, and I might feel like sad that you're sad, but that's because you're my friend. Mm-hmm. But I'm confident in this decision. Because that was the main thing, is that he wasn't confident he wanted to be with me. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm just struggling with learning how to love myself the way I love other people. Like, I'm so cheap. I only go to movies on Tuesdays. And then I still get a military discount. Barely, like it's like months. I pay like one cent. No, it's like it's super cheap, but I'm that cheap. Like I never eat out, never ever eat out, like unless I'm like at work and it's like, damn, I'm starving to get pizza, mm-hmm. but pizza's cheap. That's why I only get pizza or like a fucking taco or something. Like, I'm so cheap. I don't buy myself anything. I don't shop. Like, this, the wig that I'm wearing is the one wig I really own. Like, I care about myself, but I don't treat myself like royalty, like how I treat the people that I'm with. Mm-hmm. You know, like, nigga, you hungry? I got you. Mm-hmm. Like, you want this? I got you. And it's not necessarily a financial thing. It's more of like a, I care for you so much, I'll do anything for
you.
Yeah,
I want to take care of you.
Mm-hmm. I want to be the reason. Like, I want to be that, the person that makes it happen for you if you can't make it happen for yourself. Mm-hmm. Cook, nigga, I don't cook. Like, I'll just sit there and eat air for dinner. Like, I only make breakfast. Sometimes I'll cook if I'm like, okay, I'm about to be poor. But I cook so much because it's like, oh, I don't want you to be hungry. Mm-hmm. It's like, but why wouldn't I cook for myself? You know, like, it's shit like that. Like, I only made steak when I was with him. Mm-hmm. Like, the good cut steaks. Yeah. And when I went food shopping after we broke up, I'm like, I bought two, like, beautiful steaks. And I'm like, why'd I do that? I could have bought one. Even more beautiful steak, one mm-hmm. beautiful steak for the same amount of price for two steaks is just gonna be me. Mm-hmm. But I have to unlearn him, essentially. Mm-hmm. I have to, like, okay, cool, I'm going out. So if I'm going to the supermarket, I don't need to buy juice because I don't drink juice. And he's not gonna be in my house drinking my juice. Like, even if you are drinking water because it's my juice and we're not together, so you're just a guest and guests don't get juice.
I'll buy juice for you, nigga.
Facts. I buy bottles of water. Here you go, buddy. Or like, you know, just like shit like that. Like, or I go shopping for myself and it's like, oh, I think he would like this. And it's like, no, I don't buy shit for my best friend, so I ain't buying shit for you. Yeah. It's like, it's, I have to unlearn our whole relationship, even though we weren't together for that long, but it was a lot of time spent together. It's more mm-hmm. time than I spent with anybody else in my, like, literal life. Mm-hmm. So, besides my parents, but it's because I came out of my mom's vagina, so that'd be weird if I didn't spend time with her. But I mean, it's hard, but you know, I did the damn thing today, even though I literally did not even want to get out of bed. And I look mad cute, and I have on these cute ass socks, these cute ass sneakers, and this cute ass sweater. My cake is,
yeah, we're gonna take a picture.
Bitch, yeah, lumpy. Oh. I'm lumpy right now. Like, not voluptuous, just lumpy. Like, boy, and the highlight is on fleek, and I'm sweating. My titties are sweating, but I'm okay. And I don't feel like I'm sad, but it's more like a just trying to be comfortable sad. Like, I don't want to text you because I really don't want to talk to you. Period. But I want to text you because I'm so used to texting you. Mm-hmm. Like, I prefer small talk over mm-hmm. silence. But it's like, yeah, now I'm learning to, like, it's okay for me to, I like to turn my phone off, and I never did it while we were together because I wanted him to be able to contact me. And it's mm-hmm. like, now I have to be comfortable. Like, you can turn your phone off, you don't have to talk to people. Mm-hmm. Or you can lock your top lock. He doesn't, because I get the keys back now. Like, you don't live here. And yeah, I made the box and the bag for his shit, put that shit in the corner. Don't know when I'm gonna let him know that I did that. Might stay there for the rest of the year. I might move, and that might be the only thing left in the apartment. But
like, the end of Insecure.
Facts, like the fucking couch, and it's just, no, it's just your shit. I don't hate him, but I'm a sad cookie, and that's, I also want some sex, and I don't want sex at the same time. I don't even masturbate anymore. I feel like that. It's just too depressing. And I'm like one of those niggas who have a spank bank in their head. Can't watch porn. Porn's too gross. Mm-hmm. And I have a spank bank in my head, but I hate everybody that I've ever had sex with. So
that is a conundrum.
Boy, so now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I don't want to think about having sex with you. I fucking hate you. Yes, and it's like, so what do I do? And I'm like, I'm not really into any celebrities, so I can't really fantasize about them. And I'm like, I can't deep breathe and find, like, oh, presence within myself, and then like align my chakras and then be able to like jerk off. Like, I can't do it. I'm struggling right now. I think it's going through the ultimate of, it's not dry even like spells. It's not even a dry sports and a dry spell. When you can't even self love and self medicate with your own God-given hand, mm-hmm. you know that there's like some real deep-rooted issues going on. Yeah. So don't be sliding in my DMs, man. Ladies, I'm off the table for now. Okay. Aww. I'll send you selfies though, because I'm so pretty. It's crazy. That's all you're getting though. You heard? That's it.
Speaking of dragging, I am definitely being dragged and getting the runaround, and I don't know why I keep fucking doing this.
Same son?
It's the same fucking nigga, yo.
Boy.
I can't not do this. I don't know what it is. It's
you,
like
you can't not.
I can't this. Not fuck with this guy. After, so I texted the group and I was like, I'm done with this dude. And yeah. I texted him that shit in here front. I texted him and I was like, basically, I'm reclaiming my fucking time.
Woo! Yeah,
I'm tired of you.
You read him. And we
was, yeah. Everyone was like, yes, and I was like, yes, fuck this nigga,
yes, queen.
And then, like, after that, I didn't speak to him.
2 minutes later.
Like,
sorry, never mind.
2 minutes later.
My bad.
No, like, we weren't talking that day. And then I came home from school and he was like, I'm outside. We need to talk. He fucking rode his bike over there. And I was like, this is hilarious. But, yeah, he pulled up in his mini bike. And I walked outside and we talked for, like, 3 hours. And he was just like, we need to, you know, step back. Like, broke up with me, but we weren't, like, even together. So it was, like, okay. And then, like, he was just like, you know, we need to relearn how to be friends and did it. And I was like, all right. That makes sense. I agree, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was just, I was like, all right, so just so you know, I'm going to, because that's the right thing to do. You have to say, like, I'm going to see other people, mm-hmm. you know, because we were having sex, like, unprotected sex. So it's like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to have unprotected sex with other people, but I'm letting you know I'm going to start fucking other people now. So
if you keep having sex with them, you need to start having protected sex with them.
Yeah, you're right.
And actually do it this time.
No,
like,
yeah,
actually,
for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
3 months later. Guys, I'm pregnant. Yeah.
No, hell no. I'm definitely on birth control. No.
I'm pregnant. That's crazy. I don't know how this happened. I was having protected sex.
Wild, son.
This, yeah. You're right. But so we like had the time where we weren't doing anything or whatever. And then I was leaving for my trip and he was like, yeah, we're gonna do this. So we ended up doing it.
Do you know what show this is?
Vulgar, and then suddenly you're toning like, down doing and say, it. Doing it.
We were fucking. So it was just, I know that it's a cycle where if it gets too serious or too relationshipy, mm-hmm. because he's obviously a person with commitment issues, and he's said that before, and I know mm-hmm. that. And it's like, I don't know why. In any other situation, I would tell that person and be like, what are you doing? You're obviously like being dragged around and somebody who doesn't want to be with you until you're like, I'm going to fuck somebody else. And then they're like, no, you know, that's not what I meant. I meant we were steps away from this. You know what I mean?
Let's have sex with each other.
Exactly. So it's, I don't know why, because also he's the only person that I talk to about pretty much everything.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I let everything go, I feel like I'm losing like a whole it's hard to explain, like a whole person, like a whole part of me, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, how do I separate the two? How do I, every time I say I'm gonna quit, I'm gonna not, it's like a drug or something, you
it's
know
like
what I mean?
It's like a fuck you happening right now.
Yeah.
Did you just write a letter?
She penned a letter.
I need help. That's all.
I don't got nothing for
it's
you.
It's just son. Like,
damn, Sam.
I just
so
hate.
Sorry.
I just hate it. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I know.
And it's just like, that's what I'm saying it because I know that somebody else is probably going through the same situation.
Yeah. Me.
And it just, yeah. You know what
that's
I mean?
That's crazy. What do you know?
Whoa.
Hey,
I was like, nah. let's
you know?
Not.
And I need to just be like, nah. But then it's also like a part of me is like, and I can't let that go. A part of me is just like, okay, but what if I wait one more day and then he's ready to be with mm-hmm. me? But then at the same time, I'm like, why do I have to work so fucking hard mm-hmm. for somebody to want to be with me? You yes. know what I mean?
It like, should be effortless,
you
bro.
Know?
Like,
that's what I'm saying.
I like you. I want to be here. Not like, let me do all of the things right.
Exactly.
And maybe you'll stay. Maybe.
And like, when you were talking, like, I was sitting here thinking, like, I do all of those things where I'm just, like, I'm fucking juggling and doing all this shit. And, like, do you like me now? Do you like me now? You know what I mean? I'll cook. I buy things. Are you hungry? This. And I'm, like, I don't do shit like that, like, regularly. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, when I'm in a relationship, I'm like that anyway. Mm-hmm. But I'm doing all these things for somebody who does not even, like, want to be with me. I don't even think he recognizes all the things that I do extra.
So that's why you got to go back to the original plan, which is, like, stop.
Yeah.
Cause you gotta know your worth. That's
dick
why
good,
I
yo.
Ended up like I was the one who initiated.
Dick too bomb.
Dick too bomb.
Yo, okay, you know. Oh, you don't know. Cause that'd be weird. Cause you didn't have sex with T. But like, it's great. It's great for me.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like, my gosh, shit don't mean anything.
Like, it feels great and it's awesome, but there's so many other people out there to have sex with, mm-hmm. if that's what you're looking for. But it's like, you have to like understand your own self-worth. And like, one thing that I did tell Sam this morning, which was like, she's like, oh my God, that's so heartbreaking. But I was like, I want to find somebody that loves me the way I loved him. Mm-hmm. And that yeah. is like a goal. Like, you need to find somebody who loves you the way that you love him. Because if you're not getting that return value, it's not gonna happen. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Like, this dude is mad old, bro. Like, the way he is likely the way he's gonna be. And also, it just might mean that he might be ready, but he's not ready to do this with me. I might not be the one for him, which is fine, because I'm awesome, I'm great, I'm perfect. But it's there's something about me that scares him off. And it's like, what are you supposed to do? You can't change. You're literally always going to be you. Because especially, you don't even know what it is. So it's like, you just got to, it sucks. But then, you know, psychology, neuroplasticity, your brain is going to think itself back to normal anyway.
Yeah, it will.
And there's nothing that there will ever, never, ever, ever, besides a mother's love, there's nothing that anyone can give you that you can't give to yourself. For real. Besides, you give yourself a fucking orgasm, boy. fuck a dildo on a chair that we saw in the sex pole. Like, you do all kinds of crazy yeah. shit. But there's like that kind of affection that you want. It's like, that's why you gotta just learn to do it for yourself. Cook yeah. for yourself and love yourself. And it's like, my nigga, we're young.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I take comfort in. Like, cool, I'm 25 and it's like, I'm not that old. Like, I might be old for my parents. You're not married, bitch. But in like, in our times, it's like, yo, we still have a good amount of time. And it's like, if not, we're still people doing shit. Like, you got this motherfucking podcast. Do you really want to be in like a full 100% relationship, doing a podcast, working, and going to school? Not saying that you could do whatever you want, of yeah. course, because of course, if you're feeling it, you're gonna make it work. Yeah. But it's like, if that being with somebody like that, or trying to do something with somebody like that, it's just another stress added on that's unnecessary, because it's not stressful for him.
Yeah,
like mm-hmm. if it was like an even amount, like we're both stressed out, we're both making it work. It's like, cool, we both dying, but we doing this. But it's like, oh, I'm the only one suffering. Which is cool, yeah. which is the premise of all of our issues right now. It's like, we're the ones who are like, damn, I feel it. You don't feel it. You don't really care, but I feel it. So yeah. I have to be the strong one to be like, all right, I'm gonna go through it. I'm gonna be good. Nah, I'm gonna be better. And then you're gonna be mad because I'm gonna be a bad bitch walking around. And that's around.
Honestly what it ultimately comes down to.
Yeah.
Every single time.
And the niggas, I mean, not the good thing is that niggas come back. Because people are stupid. Men are stupid. Mm-hmm. They're like, damn, that's a good one. I'm fucked up. I'm ready now. I'm ready to be a good person. Mm-hmm. But it's like, that's the balls. The ball's going to come into your court in due time. And then you got the power. You can do whatever you want. It's some good ass power, too. You're just like, do I ruin a life right now? Like, Do I ruin a life? Do I yeah. fuck his best friend? I don't know what to do.
Please fuck his best friend. Fuck his father.
Fuck his
damn. Fuck his girl. Take his girl home.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I'm sorry.
Okay. I've done that before, too.
Any and all of that.
It's always great when that happens. Her feelings.
Go ahead, Sam.
I really don't want to talk about her life.
All right, cool. Keep it pushing.
Yeah. I'm sorry, like, you guys are going through something similar to me, but like, times 8 years of experience.
Oh, yeah,
you
know? Yeah, yeah.
And just like, I have issues with grief, and I'm like OD grieving my past relationship right now. Don't cry. This is around the time that my mom got really sick last year. So that's like reminding me of that too. And it's just like really anxiety inducing. Like, this has not been a good week for me. So, and then yesterday was stupid. A lot of really weird shit happened yesterday, but I'm not going to talk about it. But like,
it was just weird.
Like, a lot of weird shit happened.
Like, every level, it was just like, you turn around. It's just like, it was really surreal.
I guess, like, that's the one thing. It's like, when life is always great, there's always the part about sex, love, and dating that just brings everything down. Mm-hmm. But it goes to show you how important it really is. Mm-hmm. But you gotta keep
intimate relationships, man. Like, whether that be like with your family or your friends or your partners,
shit affects everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go on to fuck you now.
Fuck you.
The segment about your lives, where we read your long ass listener letters. Condense this, guys. We're like going through mad emails right now, and they just have too many paragraphs.
You're writing theses.
Yeah.
Theses.
Stop doing that. We really need you to stop doing that.
But we love you.
We yeah, love you. But, send your thesis to ihupodcast@gmail.com. We'll read it on the show one day, just not today.
So this is a story from Drew. When I found this show, I felt like I found my soulmates. Honest to God, I try not to cackle and cry at work when I listen. Love y'all. Heart emoji.
Love you too.
Anyway, I'm Drew. I'm 19 and I'm in college in South Carolina, and I feel like that's when hoeing in its truest form begins. True. Mm-hmm. I'm a bi femme black girl and my butt is cute, so I do alright for myself, I guess.
That's so like cute. Me.
My issue is that I did the hoeing and, despite my lack of social skills, got 8 dudes from all walks of life to fuck me. I don't know how either, trust me. But I'm kind of over it now because I've seen every level of fuckboy there ever was. Mm-hmm. I can smell them from far away. But now I want something real, which I guess at my age is physically impossible. By the way, she's 19, so go back to that. I really want to participate in the whole beauty that is black love, but where do you find a black man who isn't homophobic, transphobic, hypermasculine, and into gross male rappers?
They don't exist. They gotta be one of them.
0.05%
who are actually like that, and the rest of them you have to teach them.
And you can't find those. Yeah. They're their own separate subculture in Detroit.
rare breed of black man.
I like to think I'm intelligent. I love conversations about the prison system and sexism and how literally everything in America is wrong and a social construct. I don't go to the gym, and I'm also at a pretty white school because I live in the South. So dating basically isn't a thing. It's like you meet a man, fuck him, and watch him beg you to reply to his messages for more sex.
What you doing? What you doing? What you doing? What you doing?
It's the fuckboy mantra.
Oh my God. Damn. That's so really funny. Idea.
You're so funny. It's like a fuckboy society and they're just in a group chanting that.
What are you doing?
In like black robes.
Oh man, I can't. Oh god. So good.
Damn, Sam. You're gonna be famous one day. I'm so happy I know you.
Thank you.
where we at? But when I do try to date, I get mixed up with all these white devils, which I'm into. She's into the white devils. Okay. That's cool. White people aren't okay. Anyway. not gonna lie, but I want the black love that everyone talks about. Where can I find this?
Do
it's
you
so funny.
It?
This like it doesn't exist, bro.
It's a myth.
It's a fucking myth.
It's a facade.
I meet so many hoteps and ashy niggas, my favorite. But where are the genuine ones? Basically, I'm asking, how do you trap someone and make them like you for more than 7 months?
Dude, we don't know, bitch.
did you hear the segment before?
We're the worst people to ask. We have no idea
why you wrote into this show.
He said because that's the longest trick. I mean, relationship I've ever pulled off. Thanks, Drew. Emoji flipping here.
Thanks for writing in, Drew.
That is so funny for so many reasons, and the main one being black love. Mm-hmm. Black love is a lie. Black love is a lot like love. This with black people, and love is a lie. So
the thing about black love is a lie. The thing about love, and specifically black love, you can find black love in your familial and friendship relationships, mm-hmm. and be like even more so sustained than running around here trying to entertain these niggas who are really not trying to entertain you like that. Secondly, maybe just like let go of the idea of black love a little bit. Like, entertain the white devils, because if they are actually treating you the way that you want to be treated and are fulfilling what you want and need in a relationship aside from the fact that the person is black, you know?
Yeah.
You might be sustained. Like, give it a try. Like, fuck that whole, I mean, I get the whole, oh, it's on Instagram and this is black love and we're trying to, like, live up to this and we're trying to be relationship goals, but, like, fuck that shit. And you don't even know what's going on behind the scenes of that relationship or whatever.
So. I definitely know that, When I was dating T, damn, that past tense so real, boy. But you know, T is like the darkest person I've ever dated, and he was also the like most black dude I ever dated, like black and like culturally black, like culturally aware.
Yeah.
And with him, like when we take pictures together and do shit, I'm like, damn, like this is the epitome of black love. Like I wash your hair, you wash my hair, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. But I realized it wasn't that we were just both black, it was just because I found somebody that I can complain to and can relate to me. So I think that, like, you're right, you know, I don't have that in my familial relationships. I complain to my mom, but my mom is like popping, so she doesn't know my struggles, you heard? But I have you, and, you know, I have my other friends to complain to, and that's still, it doesn't feel too different. It just doesn't, it's not romanticized at all, but it's like, yeah, it, exactly. I can still get that same, like the relation out with my people. But if you're finding white people who aren't fucking racist and who aren't fetishizing you and who actually genuinely care for you, it is possible, rare, but it is possible that white people can date black women and not date them just because they are black women.
Yes.
And if you find that, like, I wouldn't cancel it out. I understand you wanting to seek people who look like you, because I understand wanting to be with people that look like you and people that been through things that you've been through, so you don't have to explain from scratch, like, racism, this is what racism is. Slavery happened, and, you know, you don't want to start from scratch. Yeah. But it probably, if you can't find it, don't close yourself off from any other experience you could possibly have, because you can't get that cliche black love. That shit is just wild on Instagram, fam.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, black love updates and blah blah blah, and I be seeing the niggas who be the fakest of happiest couples. I be knowing these niggas personally. I'm like, y'all beat each other, but okay.
Oh boy,
let's do this.
I didn't know it was gonna get that bad.
No, just saying, like, it's just like, you know, that's just the portrait that's there. It's like two black people love each other, and it's like, black love is unbreakable, but black love is love.
Yeah.
And love is fucked up. Yeah. Love doesn't exist. Love is a facade. Love is something that was created to bring the black man down by the black woman. It's a lie.
It is, though.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't trap
it happens,
anybody.
It happens, yeah. But
if you got to this point in the show, you already heard that it's literally impossible, like, to force someone to want to be with you.
Yeah. And then you're talking about, like, oh, you know, I'm young. Like, you're aware that you're young. And you're aware that the people that you're attracting are also young, because, no, me as a 26-year-old person would not date a 19-year-old person. So, and this is us as, you know, mid-20s. To late 20s, because I'm old.
Ain't nobody in their late 20s yet, nigga. We're on the cusp.
I'm just going.
You are almost there.
I'm just going. Yeah, I'm just gonna go there. Like, what's the point of skipping? Let's just fucking go all the way to elder age.
I'm younger than all you motherfuckers.
And you just, like, you're almost approaching that midpoint.
I am.
But
yes.
But even me, as this fucking grown ass man, I still can't get something longer than 7 months. So it's like, it's
really hard to expect that as a 19-year-old.
Yeah, you just gotta just go with the flow, but just ask yourself, like, what do I want? Like, you probably, like, well, not gonna say you probably, I don't know, you might be really, you just want a relationship, but ask yourself, what exactly do you want? Is it the relationship, or is it that you really want to talk to a black person and just be a nigga with some niggas? Like, or is it that you just want some, you want to experience the sex that is black sex, or you want to just be for show with a black person, so people are like, oh, you really down with the shit, you're not portraying us anymore, huh?
Yeah.
You know, just ask yourself what you really want and then go for that aspect. But don't
address that
need, but don't go for a black person for the gram, though.
Yeah,
that's weird, because people do that.
People really do that.
Yeah,
I would say that's not a good idea, but you can literally do whatever
you
want.
No, you do whatever you want. But it just, I just don't want you to, because we're already objectified to begin with. So I just, I would be sad if you just objectified a black man because you wanted to be cool. But I doubt it. You seem very intelligent, and you just, for me, it just seems like you want to be around black people that aren't hotep ass niggas and who aren't ashy ass niggas.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, come to New York and go to Brooklyn, but not party in Brooklyn. Like, go meet it with niggas like us.
Yeah.
And then, and then go hang out with other people, and you'll be surrounded by so many black people that all.
She can't go to Brooklyn. Oh, the issue is that she's in South Carolina and it's hard to, like, meet people.
That's not too
okay. Well, the bitch is not moving to Brooklyn.
No, just come through for a few days.
I mean, oh, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, no, okay. No, don't live here. God, don't. Also, dear God, don't live in Brooklyn.
But, like, I'm not sure what you're. I know that you're in college. I don't know if you have a car or whatever, or how easy it is to navigate South Carolina. But, you know, like, find that subset of
people.
Find
your group.
Yeah, find some groups.
Find your tribe.
Yes, or I'm sure, like, if you meet that one person at your school, because if you're 19, you've probably only been in school for only at most 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. But if you finally find that one friend who is like, damn, I'll fuck with you, I'll die with you, more than likely, if especially if they've been in school longer, they'll probably have more friends like them. Mm-hmm. And it's a matter of networking too. Because mm-hmm. if you're really like, I want some black niggas, you got to find some black people. Yeah. Black people are typically, you know, we hang out with black people. Mm-hmm. So if you want to bag a black dude,
find his friends.
Yeah. Or find a black chick who's like, who's just as woke as you. Because you seem wild woke, and I can see how that can be a turn off to pussy ass niggas. Like, I can see how that could be a turn off to people who aren't woke, or people who are like, women shouldn't be this strong. Women should know that I'm not supposed to be in the kitchen with you. So it's just you.
There's also, in the beginning, you said you're bi. I don't know if you mean bisexual or biromantic. So if you're not bi, if you're just bisexual and not biromantic, then disregard everything I'm about to say. But there's dope ass black women everywhere.
Fact. Like, that's one thing that there's an abundance of.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just like, underrated.
What do you mean?
People don't take the time to find dope ass black women. Mm-hmm.
So I just maybe it's living in New York City, but I don't even think it's hard
anywhere.
No,
everyone is dope finding a black dope ass
black. It's living in New York City.
Okay.
New York is a fucking beautiful place. You can walk down the block and find hubby.
Yeah.
Go down a block and just dick just, oh shit. Oh,
fuck. Yeah. Dick just hit you on the head. Oh, it should be in the wig.
Yeah. Everyone's awesome.
I got my wig.
Yeah, we're the awesomest though. Let's end the show.
All right. If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so by following Inner Hole Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Hole Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook, innerholeuprising.com to pay a bitch, or check out our merchandise. Mm-hmm. I changed my Instagram.
So you even know with that heading on it.
Right? Yeah, changed it? I did. And it's worse.
Oh, what is it?
Oh my god.
Oh wait, we'll find out. We'll find out.
I don't even want to say it.
I want to hear it vocalized. I want you to verbalize this.
It's no.
How do you change it? You
I was ashamed. Drunk and I changed it, and then like I looked at it the next day and I was like, why did I change to this? Because I thought it was cool. I changed it to Cosmosis Jones. So
That's so funny.
You're so corny.
I know.
That's how you know you're old.
I'm a perpetual 12-year-old, and it's terrible.
Cosmosis Jones. And I am African American dot booty scratcher on Instagram. I'm never gonna change that because it's so funny. I love saying it. Facts. It brought back all the memories of people making fun of me my whole life, and now I've embodied it. I've internalized it.
I've made it my own,
and now I'm giving it back to you.
Reclaim it
in the form of just non-stop selfies of me and my dog. So follow that, and then I have the Artstagram, Vanta.Black with a Q, and I just uploaded something because OG Stefani. Like, I love your art. I was like, I haven't posted anything in like a year. So I posted something and it's interesting. You should go look at it. And oh, my Twitter, which I have to change, and I'm taking suggestions because I don't know what to change it to. And it's Oh My Fucking God Girl with 5 U's. And also, by the way, I didn't say this, but I should plug this now because it's coming up. Pancakes and Booze, the art show. I'll be there in New York City October 11th and 12th. That is a art show. They have like pancakes and like unlimited pancakes, free pancakes.
That's the important part.
Yes, because it's not free booze, but okay, nothing. If you're from New York, you know that doesn't mean anything. but yes, I'll be displaying and selling probably almost all of my art because I'm running out of space. And if you are a homie and you are a listener and you mention that you heard of me from the Inner Hole Uprising podcast, I'll probably give you a special price because I love you. But come through. I'm going to be really, really bored and probably lonely and probably surrounded by a whole bunch of people that don't look anything like me and who I probably won't have conversation with. So please come support me.
And we'll be there.
Bring me a bagel with cream cheese if you fuck with me hard enough. The jelly too.
You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter. That's Rid with 2 D's. And you can follow me on Snapchat at Samanners. All of that will be in the description for this episode. Please don't forget to rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. 5 stars only. That's really it for life. Right.
I love you.
Love you guys.
Have a good day.
You're beautiful. You're smart.
You're loyal.
I appreciate you.